Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Naked Sports Show with me, Phil Pritchard, back from a 2-week holiday and co-presenter, The Vulture.
Good evening, everybody.
How are we doing? Sorry, Tim, I hope you phoned you up maybe as well. Say again.
I don't think the viewing public would appreciate if you did phone me up, but good evening, everybody. Yes, it's been a good week, isn't it, Phil, on the old sporty front there?
Yes, indeed. Before we go any further, I'll just welcome our guests on the show tonight. We have Ipswich Witches team manager Pete Simmons.
Good evening.
And we also have Naked Regular Race Leg.
Bonjour.
Bonjour indeed. So then, a question that we'll ask as we do at this stage of every show every week. What live sports have you been watching this week? And I think I know what the answer is going to be to that.
Well, yes, Phil. I've been watching a bit of hurling. I've been watching Euro 2008. But I think, for me, we were both there last night. The sporting highlight of the week, Graham Napier hitting 152 in the 2020 for Essex.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. As the Vulture says, we were both there, and I think although this I'll build this as a Speedway special this week, we can't not mention Graham's efforts last night. It was absolutely outstanding.
Incredible. A few facts and figures for you. The second highest ever 2020 score, only beaten by Brendan McCullum, who scored 158 in the first ever IPL match, incidentally. Napier's 152 came off 58 balls, and McCullum's 158 came off 78. And it's a world record. He hit 16 sixes in his innings, which is a world record. And me and you were there, Phil.
Indeed, we do. I mean, we were having the pre-show chat about the about all these boundaries. There was, I think it was 8 fours and 16 sixes. And I know they bring the boundaries in for the 2020, but these weren't just clearing the ropes. They were going in the stands, in the river, out the ground, in the flats, everywhere.
Dual carriageway got a few as
and
well.
I think they did, and it was absolutely incredible to see. He started off at a relatively low tempo, roughly round a runner ball, and the second half of the innings actually scored twice as many as they did the first half.
Yeah, very sedate start, but when they kicked on, it was great to watch. Great advert for the game. If like you and I, we don't go to a lot of limited overs cricket, fantastic advert for the game.
Yeah, and the 2020 is there to bring the crowds in, and spectacular stuff like that can do nothing but help.
Can't help, can it?
Anyway, moving on from that, Ray and Pete, which sports have you been watching the last week or so?
Well, I've been watching a bit of the football. Obviously, no home interest in it, but there's been a couple of good games. Myself and Chris Louie were staying up in the Coventry area on Sunday night, and we watched the game. It wasn't one of the best, but there was a result at the end with the penalties. But they've got to learn to take penalties just like England need to.
They have a bit. I think Italy were smothering the life out of that game, weren't they? And I think they got their just desserts. Some of the other games have been quite good as well. It was
Croatia,
Turkey was a good one, and also the I've forgotten the one. The tip of my tongue. Russia against Holland. Some of the stuff that Russia played that in that game was very, very impressive.
Russia, yeah.
Raimondo, you?
Yeah, well, I was playing cricket myself on Saturday, so stretching our muscles. Yes, don't look so surprised. Watching the Speedway on Monday, of course, which we all saw, and. Just to mention, go back to 2020, the World Cup is in England next year, allegedly.
It is.
Hopefully, the tickets go on sale on Monday morning. Mm. So, if you want to go next year, I think it's an open sale, tickets on sale on Monday, and the first game is at Lord's on June the 5th, which should be a good one.
And I believe there is going to be a game or two at Chelmsford.
Is there?
No. No, they're all at Lord's, the Oval, and Trent Bridge. That's the World ICC World 2020 next year. June the 5th, it starts, but it does. Go on sale Monday.
There were posters up for some cricket tournament at Chelmsford yesterday. I think it may have been another one, because the final for that
you're
was
in dreamland. You're
at the Rose Bowl.
You're in dreamland. You didn't read them properly.
I was a bit stunned after the events of last night, yes.
You were, exactly.
Yeah. There was certainly an air of disbelief what we'd just seen when Sussex went into back. The atmosphere went rather flat. I think everyone was absolutely stunned, but... Anyway, moving on.
Game of two halves, as they say.
Game of two innings, I think you'll find
in cricket talk.
But anyway, moving on to the subject of the evening. Pete's kindly agreed to come on, so thanks very much, Pete, for that. And let's talk Speedway. So, Pete, just as a start off, if you can give us a bit of a background how you come to be the Witches manager. Obviously, Mike Smiley did the job for a number of years, and John Louis is promoter, kind of... did a lot of it as well before that. So if you can explain how you got into it, and certainly to the layman, the difference between what the promoter does and what the manager actually does, that would kick us off nicely, I think.
Okay, Phil. I obviously rode myself when I was in my early 20s. Rode a few matches for the Ipswich Juniors, as well as Milton, all a few other clubs. Still follow the sport. Obviously came back to watch. Once I finished riding, and actually I was a mechanic for Shane Parker, Robbie Fuller, and even actually spanned for Tony Ricarton in one meeting down at Eastbourne.
Excellent.
So you know, I was in and around the speedway for quite a number of years. I drifted away as more of an armchair fan, if you like, but came back into it now about 3 or 4 years ago. Got my own company. We sponsored Kim Jansen at the time. We sponsored him for the last three seasons, and for the last season, Robert Muscoviac as well. So I've been in and around the club, and obviously followed the both the home and away meetings, going to most of the away meetings over the last three seasons. And Mike obviously has done it for nearly 10 years. Obviously had a really good successful year in 98 when he started, but I think his enthusiasm over the years had sort of dwindled, and you know, I think he thought it was time to give someone else a try. He'd spoken to John and Chris, and obviously then Chris and John approached me sort of mid-season last year, put a few feelers out, and the deal was done towards the end of the season. So over the winter we made the change.
Good stuff, excellent. So to the layman, everybody I think in the Ipswich area certainly associates John Louis and Chris obviously with Ipswich Witches. Am I right in saying the promoter is effectively the proprietor of the business? He's the one who's responsible for getting the crowds in and booking the riders and making sure the finances add up, and you manage the team through the meeting?
Yeah, basically the team manager's job is to obviously get the guys organised, make sure we've got a team, and look at obviously changes throughout the meeting, whereas John's job is a promoter. He obviously he owns the rights to Ipswich Speedway. As you say, his job is to promote the sport, obviously pay the wages, and put on a good spectacle for the fans. My job is obviously to win matches.
Yeah, good stuff. And how do you think it's been going so far this season in 2008?
Well, we certainly hit a purple patch with 7 on the bounce. We had a terrific week. I think we bagged about 13 points in 7 days. It's gone off a little bit just now with obviously one of our riders, Piotr Swiderski, at that time was riding in reserve, which meant he could have 7 rides, which I used to the full advantage, let's say.
How are you going
to
do? Right, exactly.
That's it, within the rules is what we did. So we had a real good run there, and unfortunately then we had this break of about 2.5 weeks, and when we came back we had a home meeting against Paul, and that was a Sky TV meeting, which obviously we got blown away in that one, and you know, the guys were a bit rusty. It's not the whole excuse, because most of them do ride on the continent, but we did struggle to get going on a sort of wetter and rougher track than normal due to the hot weather. Bob had to obviously put a lot of water down, but again, this Monday just gone, we had another break, and we managed to lose again at Bellevue, which after looking at the 7 on the bounce, we thought was a doable match that we could actually gain another 3 points from, but hopefully tomorrow night we'll put that right with a home victory against Peterborough.
Must admit, watching the match at Bellevue the other night, it was a 4-2 in the first heat, and I thought, oh, here we go, we're sliding down the slope to a away defeat here. But then they bounced back with a 5-1 in heat 2, kept that 2-point advantage. Then Bellevue got back a 4-2, and it was even Stevens after about 7 or 8 heats. And I think the 2-5-1s and the 5-0 two thirds or so of the way through the meeting kind of blew us out of the water a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, after 7 or 8 heats, as you say, it was 21 all, and it looked good, because I mean, we hadn't got Swiderski firing at that point, and when he does get going, he can beat the you know, the world's best, and it was just unfortunate that 5-0 really hit us hard, and we didn't really recover from that. Chris Ram was very unlucky. Obviously, he had a decision go against him. We played the tactical ride with Piotr, and we were hoping he was going to get out of gate one and obviously get in front and get us 6 points. But that didn't happen. He came in second, and the 5-3 wasn't really enough.
No. Ray, you've been sitting patiently in the corner there. I know you're a keen Witches fan. What's your take on the season so far?
Well, I think it's an interesting season. We had a slow start, then with that purple patch, as Peter says, where I think probably Mike Smiley came into his own as well there, with the use of guests and tacticals was superb. We actually used the rules to our advantage the first time the Ipswich team was done it for ages, and we got complained at for doing it. So, no excuses there. We're down to 6 riders. I'd love to ask Pete how we're going to try and answer that problem, that situation. And also got a rider who seems to keep coming on the track more than he's on his bike, and people know who that is. And lovely rider, works his cart out for the club. Do you foresee any changes there? But I think the club is going well at the moment. We're still in fourth place. Got half the fixtures to go. I'm not sure how Chris's injury's coming on, Pete. Is it coming on any good or any prospect at all of a race for the end, or is that...
Yeah, I mean, Chris's injury, I think he goes back to the hospital to start physio in a couple of weeks, so they're trying to keep it under control, nice and slowly. They don't want to obviously rush it. He doesn't want to rush it. He wants to get it right before he returns. And, you know, I personally think that if he gets the last two or three weeks of the season, then we'll be lucky.
Right.
Yeah, we haven't had witches haven't had a lot of luck with injuries the last couple of years. There was poles getting left on the track and them jumping up and hitting Chris on the head, which did him no favours a couple of years back. Then poor old Mark Laram in the first lap of the first heat of the first race of last season puts him out. And how is Mark? I know last I heard he wasn't. It still wasn't an awful lot better than when he first done it.
Yeah, well, he's had another operation, obviously a year after the event. The bone hadn't knit together hardly at all, and the consultant had actually said to him that it was not much better than when he did it the day after he did it. So he'd had some pioneering surgery up at Norwich Hospital, and as far as I know, it is starting now to knit together. And unfortunately for us, if they could have got it right in the first place, he could have been now coming back into the side to replace Chris temporarily.
Yeah, absolutely, and that'd have been a little bit of a silver lining.
Yeah, I mean, I know both Chris and Mark are desperate to get back into the sport. I mean, they're obviously, let's say, getting near the end of their careers in their late 30s, but I know they're both very keen to get back in a witch's race jacket, and hopefully that won't be too far away, particularly for Chris.
Raimondo, I believe, has some strong opinions about a disciplinary matter in the world of Speedway. In the green room, you were holding forth about this, right? Yeah, go on, let rip to the nation.
Well, all it being that Chiefs do not prosper, although they do in Speedway, apparently. Because most Speedway fans will know what I'm referring to. The Swindon incident earlier in the season, on TV again, I'm afraid. They rode an ineligible rider. If football teams play an ineligible player, they get thrown out. Swindon apparently can do what they like, when they like, with no repercussions. Pete obviously can't say too much in his position, but as a fan, I think it's a disgrace. And the connections that are at Swindon, and we all know who they are, have rode roughshod over the rules, I'm afraid. I'm sure the manager at Ipswich aren't going to bother doing an appeal on that, because it's just a waste of time and money, because he's just not going to get anywhere the way the sport stands at the moment. I wrote to the main man today, told him what I thought, and I got a reply. Your comments have been noted.
You can go forth and multiply, no doubt.
Yeah, they've been noted and ignored. Thank you, Mr. Slegg.
If we'd have got that decision, that would have put us 2 or 3 points better off and Swindon 3 points worse off. So it would make a big difference at the end of the year, that could. But there we are. Pete, politics.
Is that something you can comment on, Pete? Obviously, bearing in mind that if the Speedway authorities are listening in, you have to be careful what you say.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, what we obviously went to the tribunal, myself, Chris and John on Monday. It was quite bizarre how it was run, to be fair. I will just say that if we'd have had OJ Simpson's legal team, I still don't think we could have won. the deck was certainly stacked against us. Our original thought was when we got the we actually got the call from the local press to give us a decision. We weren't even notified directly. On our way to Bellevue, because we obviously had the Bellevue meeting to travel up to from rugby. Our initial decision was to fight back, and yes, we would definitely be appealing. But on hindsight, looking at the situation, then we have now decided to let it go over our heads. But the problem was, I think it was a live Sky TV meeting on the night. Obviously, the BSPI officers were late getting their averages out. They were 4 days late. And to be fair to Swindon, they weren't aware of the situation until it was highlighted. But at the end of the day, they still had 3 to 4 hours to find that rider. And we know he was found. But
he was on his way, wasn't he?
They chose not to use him. And, they've got away with it. So, let's just hope if anything like this happens again, we're the benefit, not the...
I think this is, from an outsider's point of view, I think this is where Speedway shoots itself on the foot on all too regular a basis. The fixture list example, meaning there was the 8 wins out of 9 fixtures, we were the beneficiaries in that instance of Swiderski being able to ride at reserve, and as you rightly say,
the main thing is, Phil, we were within the rules when we did that.
Exactly, yeah. You were within the rules, and you took advantage of it, and no one's going to blame anyone.
What we obviously pushed home at the tribunal was that it wasn't just Ipswich Speedway that result can affect. There's 7 other clubs in the Elite League that could come unstuck at the end of the season.
Yeah.
They might not think they are now, but when it comes down to those top 4 places, if one team happens to be a point behind Swindon. You know, those 2 points or 3 points taken off Swindon would have made the difference to them to qualify for the playoffs. And it could be Ipswich, it could be, you know, Eastbourne, it could be anybody.
Yeah.
So we were fighting for the good of the sport as well as Ipswich Speedway.
Yeah.
As I understand it, am I right in saying that the top man in the sport in Britain is the top man at Swindon? Is that right?
I don't know, but there are, let's just put that there are connections. I think he certainly has been at Swindon. Mm. He has been at Swindon, so he has, how we say, a footprint in the camp.
He, there are certain indications of partiality, shall we say.
Well, it's not fair, and what Peter just said, that it was like a kangaroo court by the sound of it.
Yeah.
The decision was made before they went in. We could have gone, well, we couldn't bother going there, just this. And to hear over the phone from the press is absolutely diabolical.
They could have sent me in to sing Delilah by Tom Jones and it would have had the same result. Is that what we're saying?
I don't think that would have made any difference to any tribunal in the world, in fairness. At this point, let me just remind the listeners of the email address to email into for any questions to us, especially as Pete's been kind enough to come on. If you could email into... what's the email address now? Where is it?
NakedSportsShow@icrfm.co.uk.
Thanks, Vulture. That's the one.
You're welcome.
And also the email the studio link on there if you're listening via the web. So please feel free to get in touch with your comments. But going back to that point about Speedway, it does seem to have so many what seem to be bizarre rules and regulations. I mean, I think everyone's just about got their heads around about how sides are built. You have each... It's a bit like fantasy football in that each rider's allocated a value and then... the authorities that be will set a limit and you have to build your side within that. I think everyone's got their head around that, but then the fixture list, as you said we had so many rides in a short space amount of time, a month or so ago, and then we've gone 2 weeks without a fixture, then we've got another two or three weeks of only one or two fixtures, and okay, you could say it might make the riders fresh and ready for the next one, but equally they can go off the ball and go a bit rusty, and that's not going to stand you in any good stead.
No, that's certainly right. I mean, what we basically do at the start of the season, each club submits obviously the dates that their stadiums aren't available for meetings, and then it is the BSPA who then sort out the fixtures. And unfortunately this year, with us going out of the knockout cup in the first round against Wolverhampton, last week, particularly last Thursday, was the penciled in date for the second round, which obviously we didn't compete in, so you know, it left us with a blank week. But I think next year they're certainly going to have to look. I know there's been a lot of changes in the office up there at rugby, and there's been some new staff coming in, and I think you know, we have to hold our hands up and say they've got it wrong this year, because it shouldn't happen. Obviously the paying public want to come and watch Speedway, and you know, we don't want to put meaningless meetings on where obviously we don't get the fans through the turnstiles. We want top flight Speedway, and I know Matt Ford at Poole has sort of been mooting around this this idea of having just one home and one away meeting next year, a home meeting every other week, and we can see that certainly in the town it's not done us any favours whatsoever.
No, not at all. I mean, the paying public of Ipswich want to come and see Speedway every Thursday night, come and watch a competitive match against a good opposition, and I mean, you've got gaps like that, they're not knowing whether they're coming or going, and you get Sky moving matches to a Monday night as that's their chosen night for Speedway, and all the consistency and the regular habits that they used to be 10, 15, 20 years ago, coming up to Foxhall on a Thursday night and enjoying a night at the Speedway, slightly getting eroded by that.
Certainly, I think, I mean, the Sky thing is good, obviously good for Speedway, good for the armchair viewer. The coverage is second to none. I mean, the coverage we had years ago when we got the odd sort of 10 minutes on World of Sport or Grandstand or something, you know, is long gone now. And the Sky, I mean, they do a terrific job. The only downside to that is obviously the home club does suffer with attendance,
yeah.
which ourselves at Ipswich have obviously suffered from.
Does the fee compensate for that, Pete?
No, nowhere near. Nowhere near.
Okay, right.
But it's not that the meeting becomes so disjointed for the home team. When you're away from home, obviously the home promotion have the rights to run the meeting, have the interval where they want it, slow it down, speed it up, and they can sort of dictate the meeting to a certain extent. But when Sky move in, you are at their beck and call, and basically the referee just makes the decision. But everything out about the length of time between races, yeah. Things like that is all done by Sky to obviously cope with their advert breaks and their interviews,
yeah.
and it does mess some of the guys up. I mean, you know, they just want to get on with it and
I want to ask a cheeky question on that. What's happened to Sophie, who used to do the interviews in the pits?
I think she's on table tennis and a few other bits now. You know, she did a good job. there was a few girls they tried out, and obviously some of them got the hang of it quite quickly, and obviously were interested, and some of them weren't. But
am I right in saying that a certain liaison with one of Britain's leading lights was is any kind of a factor or not?
Yeah, it could well be. I mean, you know, obviously there's no nothing hidden that she's obviously with Scott Nichols, and you know, that could be a bit awkward, I suppose, if she was in the crew and her partner.
You can't say Scott, that was rubbish. What happened there?
that could well have something to do with it, and she herself might have stepped back from it as well, just to give him some space and you know, let him go to work as such.
Yeah,
fair comment. He's in the number one slot there, is he?
Anyway, a quick diversion away from Speedway, one of our regular features that listeners to the show probably well aware of, the Vultures Venture versus the Toddler's Tip. I've been on a 2-week sabbatical when we've had a guest toddler in the toddler chair.
The guest toddler, Wiley, who's played a blinder by tipping one on runner, and he's also tipped a horse that came fifth in the Ascot Gold Cup last week, and well, my latest strike rate, I don't want to get big-headed, win.
He's picking favourites again.
Win, non-runner, win in the last 3 weeks. Last week, I did pick Yates to win the Gascot Gold Cup. Yes, 6-4 favourite. OK, slate me for that. I won the grand total of about 88 pence off that bet. So it basically kept me above water. And I'd like to bear in mind that I'm about £7 up on the toddlers. But all it takes is your daughter, Phil, to pick a 50-1 outsider that romps in third, and I'm wiped out. So I'm playing a dangerous game here, I hope you realise.
Just for the uninitiated, Pete's looking at it as a reverse sense of amusement. We've got Tim, who's a self-proclaimed tipping expert, who's looking
worst
at the form and the horses
world.
And everything else, and picking a potential winner from a race that week. Then we've got my 2-year-old daughter, who literally the modern day equivalent of putting a pin in the card and points at a name on the screen, and we're seeing who's coming out best over the summer.
So Lauren this week is we're going for the Irish Derby, aren't we, on Sunday at the Curragh. Lauren has tipped up Curtain Call, Phil. What did she like about Curtain Call?
The fact it was 3/4 up the computer screen and she could reach it.
That sounds good enough to me. Yeah. Well, of course, New Approach won me 5-1 at Epsom. He's running in this one. I'm not about to desert New Approach now. He's a good thing. He's a great horse. And I'm going to stick with him for the Irish Derby.
Where is he in the betting team?
He's probably near the top.
He's favourite. I had a look this afternoon.
Is he favourite? What are his odds?
6-4, I think they were. And Curtain Call was 14s.
Well, you see, Curtain Call nicks a place. Lauren's right back in it.
Yeah, she is indeed.
You see my point. So more on that next week, listeners, and I'm sure I'll get slated for backing another favourite.
Right. Anyway, on to the individual format of Speedway, where the riders compete over the course of the season in the Grand Prix, and the rider at the top of the tree at the end of the season is proclaimed world champion for the year. This week, it's the British Grand Prix in Cardiff at the Millennium Stadium. Every time this year, it gets converted to a Speedway track. The current placings: Nicky Pedersen top with 69, Thomas Golob second on 58, Jason Crumps on 48 in third, and then there's a bit of a drop down to Scott Nichols on 23 and Chris Harris on 20 points. Any thoughts, Pete? Pedersen, Golob and Crump a fair way ahead of our leading lights.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Nicky, he hasn't won a Grand Prix yet, but he hasn't won the final, but he's got some good points on the board, and you know, he's looking good if he can maintain that form throughout the rest of the rounds. Thomas, you know, the Ipswich connection with Thomas Golob, obviously we've had him in our team in the past, so obviously I'm pleased to see him back up there. Yeah. He's a rider that you know, has been so
nearly. Does he?
No, he doesn't. He's a hard rider, but you know, normally he's fair, and you know, he's something else to watch when he's on song. He's really flying. You know, it's good to see him up there. I mean, he's been sort of bridesmaid for 3 years, and he's a bit like Lee Adams. He's been that main man, but never actually been able to convert it to a world championship. Jason, you know, he didn't drop many points at Bellevue on Monday night, that's for sure.
No, he didn't. He looked
If he could carry on that sort of form into Cardiff, then, you know, he's got to be a dark horse for that one.
Yeah.
Although he's not had the best of luck there over the last couple of years. But yeah, I mean, the English lads, you know, Scotty and Bomber, I don't think they've actually managed to win a heat yet in the Grand Prix, four Grand Prix so far. But hopefully that will change at the Millennium Stadium.
If we cast the minds back 12 months, Chris Harris won possibly the best Grand Prix final of certainly seen. It was the purist having a wet dream. I think he came around the outside, he pipped him on the home straight. It was a glorious a victory as it can, but unfortunately it was more of a one-off rather than consistency across the season.
Yeah, I mean that was like a Spielberg script, that one. I mean, that was we hadn't had a GP won by a British rider at the Millennium Stadium. You know, Chris came in, I think he'd ridden about three or four rounds, and all of a sudden he popped out and he couldn't do anything wrong, really. I mean, and to do it from the back as well was superb.
Yeah.
The way he's riding this year, I mean, he guested for us down at Poole a bit earlier in the season. I mean, he did a terrific job for us, but I know he's had a few bike and bike problems, and he had a scare with a crash with Joe Screen Friday night at Coventry. So whether he'll be 100% fit or not, I'm not sure. But I'd love to see him repeat what he did last year.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit off the pace at the moment, the English lads, and I'd like to see Eddie Kennett do well, actually. I mean, he's coming in as the wild card. He's done a good job for us himself this year and helped us out on two or three occasions when we've had, obviously, problems with riders missing. And I think, if he could make a couple of starts, I think he could do some damage, Eddie Kennett.
Yeah.
I mean, he holds no fear, and with no pressure on him, he could certainly upset a few. Could upset a few of the top boys. There's others to watch. Hans Andersen, obviously, he's always dangerous.
Yeah.
There is other riders there who could do the job.
And you could put in Lee Adams and Greg Hancock into that as well.
Yeah, Greg, I mean, he's again he's a rider, in his late 30s, but when it's on the line, he'll still put his neck
and
there.
And he's consistently been there for the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he's won the British GP in the past, I believe, and I wouldn't rule him out. I mean, there's probably five or six riders there you could pinpoint to say that these are the guys. Even Andres Johnson, he on his day he's unbeatable, and although he can be straw bales or checkered flag, when he's on it, he could do the business.
Just a quick one, Ray. I believe you're going to the Millennium Stadium. What's it like as a fan? Do all the supporters there get behind all the British lads, or is it a bit more of a club mentality?
No, it's a great atmosphere. You will find club colours, and there'll be a massive witch's flag there, which will be under, hopefully still stood upright by about 8 o'clock. We don't know, but you look after your club and you represent your club, but you support your British riders. And hopefully, I hope Scotty does well. He's a local lad. He's been so close. Well, he's not really been so close, really. He's always threatened, but never quite done it. I think we'll root for Scotty and just cheer him on. Hope he does well.
Yeah, good stuff. Just got an email in, actually, towards the back end of the show. I'll quickly sneak it in before we finish. Just a quick one for Pete. Hi, please could you ask Pete why he didn't use a tactical double ride in Heat 14 on Monday night when we still could have won if used? 80 from Kesgrave.
Yeah, I mean, we tried that in the pool meeting, and obviously it is a big ask. At the end of the day, I can ask a rider to go off 15 metres in the black and white off gate 4. Yeah, if their heart's not in it, and we don't think we can do it. I mean, Chris Schramm had rode, reasonable, although he'd been on the floor twice. He had held up, and when it's like that, if we'd have known the I think it was the guy in blue was going to get excluded, and if we'd have got a third, we'd have got 2 points instead of one. It's always hindsight after the event.
Yeah.
And if I'd have took Schrammy out, I could have took Toby out, put someone like Swiderski, well, I couldn't use Swiderski, we used him, but I could put Jarek or Muscoviac off 15, and I could have put Jono in instead in hindsight, yes, that could have come out as another 5-3 or, whatever, but at the end of the day, I mean, Chris hadn't done really anything wrong.
Yeah.
And when you're in that situation, particularly now the bonus point is gone.
Yeah.
9 points down.
What do you feel on that quickly? The bonus point. I think the more I look at it this year, I think the bonus point going is bad.
Yeah. I think they possibly could have kept the bonus point and still had the 3 points for the away win.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have kept everybody happy, and they'd have then been 6 points on the table for every match, not five, because at the moment you've got 2 for the home win, 3 for an away win, and still 1 for a draw. But with an overall 1 point extra for the aggregate, then. Some of these meetings where we've got 3 points away and 2 at home, we could have had 6.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I guess if you're on the wrong end of a hiding after Heat 10 and there's nothing much to play for, but you've got the home leg coming, it just gives you a little bit of a character, keep making a race of it. So anyway,
yeah.
Right, we must wrap up. It's just gone 6:30 and the guys are waiting patiently to take over for the next show. Thanks very much indeed, Ray, and thanks very much, Pete, for coming on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You're more than welcome to come on again in the future. Thanks also, Vulture.
Yep, I'll see you all next week, children, and stay safe, and another 7 days of sporting bliss awaits.
Yes, next week is we're going to be looking ahead to the Speed Weekend featuring the National Hot Rods. We've got one or two guests from Speed Work coming on the show, so until then, we'll see you then. Thanks very much. Goodbye.